Hallelujah, Brisbane fans. Hallelujah.
Oh my Lord. I will admit
got,
I did not.
You got the win that you wanted, Brisbane fans. All is right with the world now. The Brisbane Broncos are back.
I will admit, I don't mind that you don't tell me what the song is because I love hearing my reaction every time. Oh, my God. Welcome, everyone, to the Final Play podcast. As you can probably already tell, it's still NRL. I mean, it's one of the few sports around at the moment still, so round 9 of the NRL.
Well, there's a few sports starting to trickle back now.
Few sports.
None really of any importance, but yeah.
There's Premier League and that, which I'm watching in certain interest, but anyway, we'll digress from that. We'll start with the Thursday night game, started out okay, but then, typical Cowboys. Yeah. They capitulated against the Roosters. It was 42-16.
Competitive first, 25 minutes. The Roosters, again, with their hands, terrible. The same things that they're doing against the Storm. Like, they just were pretty awful holding on to the ball. And once they started to hang on to the ball in the last 10 minutes of the first half, they proceeded to put on two fairly easy tries against the Cowboys. Even though Robson scored the first try for the Cowboys, so they go in, at 12-6 at halftime. I think the Cowboys would have been, fairly happy with what happened. But the second half, obviously, a very very, very different story. And the thing is, too, for the Roosters, they were 2 hours delayed in going down. Coming up here to Townsville to start with. Their flight was delayed. They lose Brett Morris in the warm-up.
Mm.
And it didn't faze them. But, as they sort of, overcome the Cowboys at the end of the game and just completely obliterated them at the three tries in the first 10 minutes of the second half.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I just echoing on what you said earlier about them holding the ball. I mean, don't get me wrong. It's still early and all that, but when Tedesco chimes in, they seem to hold the ball more. Man, he is so much to me. And you can probably correct it if you don't think so, but he's starting to look so much like a Lockyer to me, like where he's chiming into the back line already. He can move a ball like a 5'8", like Lockyer did transition to.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think he's got a kicking game like Lockyer does, but.
No, not yet, but you're right. So I don't think he's a 5'8 yet, but it's just they clicked when he started holding the ball because it's like he sort of realized that, like exactly like what you said, like that once they clicked, they really clicked.
Well, that's it. And the Cowboys have been having problems with their right edge defense. And so this week, the Roosters just proceeded to murder the Cowboys' left edge defense. And the replacement for Brett Morris, Ikavalu, just goes out and just scores 5 tries. He'd scored 4 tries in his first grade career, and he doubles that plus 1 in one game.
You're right, and I can't totally blame Ben Hanton because that's all I seen just loot. Like, couldn't even catch up with that Matt Ikavalu. But so not only I can't blame him, also Valentine Holmes got injured early too.
No, that's
but
right.
It's that entire left edge. It's not just the winger.
It's both edges. Both edges have been shocking. Yeah. It's just. Scotty Drinkwater in the first half had 3 horrendous errors inside the Roosters 20 when the Cowboys were on the attack. Like you've got to take your opportunities against the Roosters. Like just so simple errors, just catching the ball and just looking where he's going first instead of just catching the ball.
They're missing. I think they're missing. They really are missing experience. I'm not going to say Michael Morgan, but I mean, There's also, and now his name, Matt Scott. Like, you know, they are missing, yeah, we could say JT, but they are missing experience. Well, they really are.
Matt Scott obviously retired at the end of last year and JT the year before.
Still made a difference. Like, you know, having a leader out there.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's essentially a rudderless ship.
Yes.
At the moment. Like, that's just the way it goes. But yeah, the rot really started from the ball cannoning off the upright on the Kyle Feld penalty kick. Yeah. And that cannoned off. I thought that was going to knock the top of the stick off. Yeah. It hit it hard.
He's got a boot.
That was in the 26th. That was in the 26th minute. Oh, man, he's got a big – yeah, sorry, he's got a big boot on him. Yeah, but it's as soon as that happened, it just all turned to crap from there for the Cowboys, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah. They look, they played great in the first half. I've always sort of liked him of what I've seen. That Reece Robson, he's a strength-to-strength player. He's one of the bright spots in that team, definitely.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Apart from a couple of weeks ago where he had a bit of a shocker at a dummy half, like his service wasn't. And that's because he's only young. He's only 20, 21. So he's going to have games like that. But he's definitely an energy type of guy there. Yeah, he's holding his place. So the thing. You know, he's a very, very soul sort of shining light there. It sucks that Val has gone down again with the ankle injury. They turfed him out on the wing to try and get some miles in his legs because he wasn't quite sort of up to the task at fullback. And if you ask me, I still think he's still got his NFL body.
Well, that's the exact.
You have a look at his legs. You have a look at his quads. They are gigantic.
So that my thought with him exactly right. So yeah, he's out for 10 weeks. If he comes back in 10 weeks, there's only going to be two or three rounds left. So unless the Cowboys somehow can make the eight, I doubt he's going to play for the rest of the year. But yeah, going on that, I would be very interested to find out how. You're right. He's still got an NFL body, so I'd be very interested to find out how much actual preseason he had in Townsville, because it looked like he literally, and I'm not going to say like 1 or 2 weeks, but it looks like he's literally just come straight from New York to the Cowboys just like literally before the season start. I don't know.
He just needs to lay off leg day, that's all.
No, he's just, I don't think he had a proper full preseason, personally. I mean, I don't know, but I don't think he had a proper full preseason at all. Not for league, anyway.
It's possible.
Leg day.
No, he needs to skip a lot of leg days. And with an ankle injury, he'll be skipping a lot of leg days.
Wow, it might actually help, yeah, exactly.
This could be a good thing. You know, Nathan Friend sort of went down as well early, and he failed his HIA during the game as well. So the Roosters have just been dropping like flies at the moment. And just one thing before we sort of move on. Can Ryan Hall please score a try?
What?
Can they please? Just one. 232 tries for Leeds,
and one guy comes in and one game and scores five. Yeah,
that's unbelievable.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Every time I hear Ryan Hall's name, I always think of you because I know how much you like him.
I want to know what his contract is, because that's the easiest money he's ever made.
He's 32 as well, so I'd be surprised. He's got one more year. I'd be surprised if he stays, but
There's so many teams there that could actually use him. Like, he's just, if the Roosters don't have the injuries like they do, he doesn't even get a game.
Well, Brett Morris is back this week just from a groin injury. He's always slotted straight back in.
Jersey 21, like, yeah, that's insane. There's so many teams, we talked about earlier with the Bulldogs. Boy, yeah. Couldn't they use a try scorer like him out on the wing?
It's the wing, just in wing. Well, as you'll probably hear when we go through these games, the wingers in general are really, it's that position of the year kind of thing. I hear so much about wingers this year than I've ever heard in previous years. Mike Acevo, the Penrith winger we'll probably talk about later. Like just they're just wingers are brilliant this year.
And that's the thing. You've got to have those guys that have got that speed on the outside. If they don't have speed, they've got to have bulk.
Yeah.
So they're powerful wingers. Yeah, just have a two examples with Kemba Marlowe and David Fusatua for the Warriors. Two giants. Yeah, you know, obviously Mike Acebo, Ravalawa there at St. George. Like there's just some genuinely gigantic wingers at the moment that are around, but are super athletic as well.
Yeah, exactly. Friday game, the Titans got over the Warriors 16-12. It wasn't sloppy. I wouldn't say it was fully sloppy.
It was in the first half. The Gold Coast was 7-for-17 in the first half, completion rate.
In general, it wasn't as sloppy as I kind of expected it to be, and I shouldn't say that, but I kind of expected it to be. But it wasn't.
This game could have been anything, really. It could have been a points fest, or it just could have been to drag them down, grind them out, just horror fest. But it was, I guess it was kind of in between. I suppose that all the Gold Coast had to do was hang on to the ball, and how the hell they were only down 6 at halftime, I have no idea. Like they just simply could not hang on to the ball. 7 completed sets in the first half. It was just unbelievable. And as the game sort of progressed there, the Gold Coast started. You could see them getting more confidence. Just through sheer hanging on to the ball. And you could see the confidence that they were getting out of that, because they essentially shut the Warriors out in the second half.
In what I heard on the radio, I thought the Warriors got run away with it in the first 10 minutes.
Not at all. They scored first 10 minutes, and they'd say,
and I thought, like, Jesus Christ, what the hell's going on? And then to Titans' credit, they actually came back, which is not something the Gold Coast or any Gold Coast team, usually do. So we're talking against the Warriors, but they played better. I'm not going to say great, but they played better.
No. Well, the Warriors haven't been a total debacle this year, but they're still a tough out. What sort of stood out for me too was Ash Taylor going off with a HIA, failing that, and basically Jamal Fogarty. He took over the game.
Yeah.
He took control of the game. He looked good. The final try, two of the Gold Coast tries were pretty crazy in the way that the chip kicks were followed, and the Tyrone Peachy sort of throwback as he was just about to step out, and he sort of throws it back in over the dead ball line, and Sam Stone comes in and scores, and then. Yeah, it's only 16-12 at that time. So the Warriors are still well within it. And Fogarty, in the last 2 minutes, Fogarty gets that 40-20, gives them the ball back, and then on that set of six, gets the Gold Coast a goal line dropout, and that essentially kills the game off.
Yeah. Is there any reason why Tyrone Peachy is still playing on the bench?
They just can't find he's just a plug and play sort of guy. That it sucks for him that he doesn't have the same number on the back of his jersey that he can wear every week, and I guess it's just one of those things where he's good at a lot of things but probably not great at one thing. So they just put him in wherever they see he can fit for the week that's coming up. So, whether he's on the bench, whether he's in the centers, whether they put him in the second row. Bryce Cartwright was named at center for this game.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean.
Especially with those two guys, it's a bit of a hodgepodge sort of way that Justin Holbrook is going about it. But, two wins in the last 3 weeks for the Gold Coast. Another little funny thing that sort of come out of that game too is the Warriors did not get one penalty in that game. Not one.
No.
Which is very bizarre.
Yes, and I believe there was a couple of they were dotted, I think, with a couple of calls, to be honest.
I think I find that a little fishy. Not so much fishy, but that's just a team just is not disciplined you know, it just doesn't have that type of discipline to not give away a penalty for 80 minutes. Like, that just simply doesn't happen. So I thought that was a little unlucky on the Warriors as well, whether or not it have anything to do with their jerseys, and we'll talk about that a little bit later as well.
I'm even hearing that they're it's possible because of, and it's, you know, no fault of anybody, but that it's possible that three or four players might end up going home because they're just at this at that point. So, which
it,
you know,
there hasn't been a call from the Australian government or the NRL about what's happening in regards to that. And yeah, there looks like after this week's game that's coming up, there could be a few of them heading home, which is, again, it's unfortunate.
The thing is, I guess if some have to go home and they eventually just go, well, we just have to all go home, you can't stop the season, or I don't think they will stop the season. I just think it's down as a forfeit, I guess. Is that
and that's that was one of the big things why everybody applauded the Warriors, because the large sacrifice that they're making, you know, being away from everybody for this long. But it's just it's essentially on the I can only assume it's on the NRL to go to the Australian government and go, look, what's happening here? Can we get these guys some sort of clarity on what's happening? Because these guys want, you know, not so much they want to go home, but you know, it could jeopardize the rest of the season.
Mm-hmm. And they probably just want to see their family too.
Whether or not it's the ability to bring their families over here, guys can go home for a couple of weeks and then be able to come back without quarantine. So New Zealand is open for business.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
within their own country. So it's just a little bit funny how they're
getting
sort of
home games, which is unfair. You know, there's a lot of factors.
That's right, exactly.
Too, so, but still, all in all, still a good win for the Titans.
Their first home win since April 21 last year. Like, far out.
The other Friday game was the Rabbitohs getting over the Tigers, which I thought were coming back with a wet sail, but yeah, Rabbitohs end up winning 18-10.
Had a bit of a fiery sort of first 10 minutes to that. The incident with Josh Reynolds
and Luttrell,
giving an inadvertent boot to the face to Campbell Graham,
which was definitely inadvertent.
Luttrell definitely took it personally. And they just started going after him. And then ever since then, like, that's just – Josh Reynolds is just the wrong guy to rile up, because he's just going to niggle and pick at you for the rest of the game.
Yeah. And he does it well. So
exactly.
I thought the same thing. I thought –
there's no intent there. Like, it was pretty obvious that he's trying to get the ball. Like – you can be a little bit angry at it and say, okay, cool, that's my teammate and everything, but there was no need to carry on the way that he did, and he could be in a little bit of hot water with the shot that he had from behind as well. So he could be looking at a suspension this week. I don't know if the charges are obviously out there, but I don't know if he's taken an early plea, if he's been named at all this week. So.
What's the difference between that one and Joey Leilua's? It's a dog shot, technically.
No, Joey Leilua's was probably a little bit more blatant than what Luttrell's was, but
I can see the anger, don't get me wrong, but you didn't have to come in with a forearm, swinging arm, whatever he used. He could have just pushed him or whatever, but you're right, that's the last person. He's like a Michael Ennis, he just niggles,
Yeah, you just don't want to do it, because that's, I mean, he's just gonna pick at you for the rest of the game. Yeah. And another thing that happened for South as well, like at the start of this game, another guy lost in the warm-up. They ended up losing Liam Knight in the warm-up to that game. So they had to sort of, you know, scrounge and scrap around to find a replacement for him. South took advantage of you know, of sort of outside defenders. Like, they scorched that left side defense of the Tigers. At least, you know, well, two tries to Gagai that were pretty simple just on the outside.
Who had a good game, obviously. Three tries aside.
He played fantastic. The thing that sort of was a little bit puzzling a little bit was with, you know, 30-odd minutes to go, Harry Grant gets subbed off. Benji Marshall comes into 5-8, and they push Reynolds to dummy half for a little bit. And they ended up bringing... Harry Grant back on. He only had about a 12-minute break, 10 or 12-minute break, and they brought him back on, which they looked a little better in attack with Benji out there as well. They just had that little bit of extra playmaker. The thing that I sort of took out of as well is a guy that has been sort of setting the league on fire, we're just talking about wingers before, is David Norfoluma. You hardly heard his name called.
No. You're right.
That game, you really didn't. Yeah. You just did not get involved in that game at all.
You're right. He did top the tackle count, but he just wasn't as involved as like he usually was.
No, that's right. Yeah.
Top the run meters.
Yeah, he just wasn't involved as much as what you would think. Yeah, he's that sort of, not so much a playmaking winger, but yeah, they depend on him a lot, and he gets he gets in the action a fair bit, but you hardly heard his voice, but yeah, hardly heard his name being called.
It's interesting this week, but that the Tigers have named Benji at 7 and Billy Walters at number 6. So they've axed, I mean, Josh Reynolds is suspended, but they've axed Luke Brooks. So very interesting.
Luke Brooks has been dropped. He's
dropped,
not injured?
Completely. No, he's been completely dropped.
Wow.
So, well, he was pretty lackluster in that game. Billy Walters is Benji okay, but Billy Walters is a bit of a, you know, I don't know. He's thrown right into number 6, but I guess Maguire's trying to keep everybody on their toes.
Well, that's it. Yeah, it's right. If you're not up to the performances, then, you know, they'll drop you to reserve grade. Oh, hang on a minute. There is no reserve grade. That just means no football this week.
that's exactly right. The one little thing that I took out of it, and that I'm gonna say it wrong, I always say it's Hame Selle from the interchange there for the Rabbitohs. The only reason he stood out, he only played 29 minutes, but he topped the run meters of 171 meters. It was ridiculous.
He was a beast.
He was a beast, and he is a big beast. He's 23. Yeah, he's again that just prototypical, just a big guy.
Second row monster.
Yeah, and he's 23, but yeah, no, I mean, it's just like, yeah, I guess he's just one of those guys that is hard to tackle. That's what I sort of looked at him and went, holy hell, I don't know how the hell you tackle him. Like, you know, front row from Canberra. With the biggest legs I've ever seen. Biggest legs I've ever seen in my life.
They are some serious tree trunks. I reckon he'd be able to rival Saquon Barkley with those quads.
They are, mate, I would not be surprised. They are massive. But the next game, the first Saturday game, was it was interesting to watch. 56-24 was a huge scoreline to the Panthers.
Yeah. To quote the mask, smoking. That game was insane. 26-0 Penrith went up.
Yeah.
How are you meant to claw your way back from that?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden they get really two quick tries in that last 5 minutes, the Sharks. And then they go 26-12 at half time. It was
That's right. Just to sort of make it, give them a little bit of a sniff at, yeah, to make them sort of not get a total spray from John Morris. I don't know if John Morris has got a good spray in him or not, but they looked a little bit better at the end of that the end of that first half, just sort of make the score look a little bit more respectable and go, okay, cool, you know, we can build on that as we come out for the second half. But it just didn't go down that way.
No. Another starting winger, another starting young winger gets four tries. No, he got four tries.
Four tries on debut. Five line breaks.
So, yeah, Yeah,
imagine having him on your fantasy team. Nobody's ever heard of Charlie Staines before, like, you know, on the planet, except for everybody that lives in Forbes.
Yeah, everybody
would have heard of him then. And apparently he had a bit of, you know, some of his crew there, and they were all cheering for him. But yeah, 5 line breaks and 4 tries.
He had all his crew there. So there's a few stories coming out of him. So firstly, Forbes Hotel nearly went broke because they literally said that every time anybody that was there, any time that Charlie scored, they were giving a free schooner.
Oh, so my God.
That's 4 schooners to anybody that was at the pub. And obviously it gained traction pretty quickly. That was the first one. The second one is that few of the boys are in the crowd, which is good because they changed ends at halftime and everything. The boys that were in the crowd, they all went, changed halves, like I said. Then they they all went to his place. Plus then the parents and all came over, obviously, because it's his first game, 4 tries and everything. And he's being dropped for next week because he broke COVID rules.
He's broken protocol. So it's a bit of a roller coaster.
At Forbes Hotel, they were just because I was reading the Twitter things, they said, sorry, we're about to go broke. Maybe can someone buy Forbes pub for like $1 or something along those lines, they were saying. So 4 schooners to anybody that was there.
Oh, man. The Penrith dominated possession well in that game. They had 12 line breaks for 3.
2, I think, or 44. Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was crazy. The only other thing that sort of come out of that too was Fifita only played 14 minutes. So he's done with a hamstring injury. So that's his season in a nutshell, really. He actually looked good last week. But yeah, this week, 14 minutes hamstring injury. So we'll see if he's going to miss significant time with that. That's not terrific for Cronulla either. You know, that's two sort of key guys for them out with hamstring injuries, and Matt Moylan and Andrew Fifita.
Well, there was key injuries everywhere this week. I mean, you've named a couple already. I'm sure there's going to be a few more, but injuries. So
yeah, just the Saturday injuries. You know, the 3 games on Saturday. You know, Andrew Fifita with the hamstring. Yeah, we'll talk about it with the Broncos in the next game. So Alex Glenn looks like he could be out to 8 weeks with an MCL injury from a supposed cannonball in inverted commas tackle. It is 100% not a cannonball tackle. The cannonball tackle is at the knees and underneath the knees. He hit him at the top of the thigh. It's not a cannonball tackle.
Yeah.
That's just my opinion on it. Like, okay, it's unfortunate that he got hit the way he did. It's not a cannonball tackle, and people need to get over that. It's not a cannonball tackle.
I don't like the term anyway, to be honest. So.
No, I don't like the tackle, but there was nothing wrong with
I don't like the term cannonball tackle. It just sounds like it's completely intentional, which it wasn't, obviously. So.
No, of course not.
Yeah. But we can bring that game up now. The Broncos won. The Broncos, like you said, finally won one at the start of the pot.
Hallelujah, Broncos fans.
26-8, pretty convincingly. I mean,
you beat this year's wooden spoon as well. Done.
Last place Bulldogs, but they clicked. You could tell they're a lot happier when they score. Just everybody, like everyone was like peppy and just on their toes. When they score, it's like anybody to fit your feet off the confidence.
Oh, no, of course. Yeah, that's right. And, you know, they had a couple of fairly good performers. Payne Huss was big up front. They moved Tevita Pengai Jr., who had one of his token. I'll have a good game now, and then I'll have 4 terrible games in the next 4 weeks. They're both pretty big up front. You know, Haas had 18 hit ups for 217 meters. Yeah, Patrick Carrigan had 172 run meters. Corey Oates playing in the second row. I think that's the natural progression of him now.
I think so.
With the young talent that they've got in the back line there now, with Xavier Coates and Jermaine Asako, Niu at fullback, that's just where Corey Oates is going to be now.
Well,
that'll be an interesting decision for Kevvy Walters come Origin at the end of the year, what Corey Oates' position could be. You know, if he's conditioned to be a second rower, you know, what happens to a wing position. Anyway, I mean, we talk about that later.
I just thought about that.
You know, yeah, but just on that. Towards the end of the year.
You're right, but if he keeps switching back to, I mean, he's playing second row again this week. He's been named at number 12, but if he keeps flipping, not flipping back all the time, but it depends how much conditioning he gets at second row. He still could play with at Origin. Maybe no reason why he couldn't. It just depends how much conditioning he gets under as a second rower.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it could change his body shape a little bit too if he gets a little bit bigger just to absorb those hits, that's all.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, exactly.
Look, I found it a bit funny too that that the so-called future there at the Brisbane Broncos, Tom Dearden, was dropped from the squad as well while they couldn't find a place for him in the 17. I just find that a little sort of puzzling why Seibold would do that, why you can't find a spot for him on the bench.
Seibold did a lot of weird things this week. Seibold, basically, the two things that came out was the first, from the captain Alex Gunn himself. So the first thing is they all went to golf, which is fine. That's a distraction, get away. They all went to golf. But then the second thing is every team has always had a captain's run. But he literally said the captain's run was optional this week. So
that's right. But you would assume that everyone would go, okay, I'm still going to do the captain's run. I don't think that's a good idea. Is letting, in no uncertain terms, of letting the inmates run the asylum. That's not a good idea at all.
And even if you watched him during the game, he moved down the sidelines. That's cool. You know, that's good. You're with your players and all that. He didn't look interested. Like, he just went, well, they got the win, but it just looked like he went, well, you all ran this week. If you lose, you lose. If you win, it's fine. Then I look good. Like, he didn't seem like he had input, but he didn't seem like he had so much input at all. He just was like this the whole, had his arms folded.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Like we said, you know, they beat the team that is running last this year. So all you can do is play what's in front of you, right? So the Brisbane, like we said earlier, they look fairly crisp in attack. So that's going to build confidence for them. Just in regards to Canterbury, not one forward made over 100 metres. Their new recruit, Luke Thompson, who looked good. You know, he had 86, he only had 86 run metres. But, you know, like we were discussing before, he's got a high motor.
Already one of my favourites.
He just looks like he could fit the bill right there. He's going to fit right in here in the NRL.
Has some mongrel in him, exactly like Sam Burgess.
He took on Tevita Pengai Jr., mm-hmm. Yeah, and just took him on head on, mm-hmm. And that's something that Canterbury can build on for the future. And if guys want to come down there and play with them or play with him essentially.
Well, and obviously, I guess we could talk about it now. Not so much who may be going there, but they in the Bulldogs. Like, if you look at their 1-17, Kieran Foran is off contract this year. Hasn't been playing overly that bad. I'm not saying he's worth what he's been. He's getting $900,000 a year, which is a bit ridiculous. But
the more that he's staying on the field, the more that he's getting better. Like you've seen him in this game. Like he attacked the line a lot with little success.
Yeah,
and that's kind of what you want. You know, the young kid there, Wakeham as well. He probably needs to be a little bit better in controlling the kicking game, but that's what Foran's got to do. He's got to make you think. What's he going to do? Is he going to run? Is he going to kick? Is he going to pass? That's why he's so dangerous. So but like I said, yeah, he's more consistent now that he's staying on the park,
mm-hmm.
and he's getting better.
He got more run meters than all the forwards in that game.
It was crazy. Yeah. And he attacked the line a lot.
So they are losing. Their coach looks like he's quit in Dean Pay.
I think that's unconfirmed, but confirmed, right? Like he's Dunsky.
I think it was the writing on the wall for the last couple of weeks, but it in his defense, and every time I've heard the name Dean Pay, there's never one being bad thing said about him or anything really. He's just got a team that he's had for the last two or three seasons that he's had no. Like, he hasn't brought one player at all. None of it was his.
Look, we've said before, like, he just simply doesn't have the talent there to, and he can extract every last drop of talent out of the guys that he's got there, but everything has to be the perfect game for them. They've only beaten the Dragons this year. Like, it's just got to be the absolute perfect game plan, the perfect everything for them to be able to get a W. Like, you know, they've got to have a little bit of luck go their way. It just seems like almost the impossible task for them to do that at the moment.
Yeah.
And when luck's not on your side, it just feels even worse that you're not getting the calls, you're not getting the rub of the green. It's disappointing.
And that's just sort of been their sort of season this year. They probably have to, you know, well, they obviously realize they're kind of, this season's pretty much done. Then they're going to have to just start rebuilding again. But unfortunately, what I keep hearing is that their boardroom is the problem. Their boardroom are at loggerheads. There's no
cohesion. Yeah, it's apparently a mess.
At all.
Boardroom, apparently.
Obviously it's easy to get rid of the coach because he's just one that's supposed to get the wins.
Oh, that's right. It's like that in every sport. Like he's always the first.
Of course.
They're always the first guy to go. And if they're sniffing around Trent Barrett, like what's he going to do with this squad?
Apparently, he has $3 million, which I don't know. Like
that's all well and good,
but before it started, but
yeah.
If it's all well and good, exactly, but $3 million is because they're going to have to pay overs.
$3 million doesn't equate to talent.
It's not going to get you a lot of people. You're going to have to pay overs, so you're probably only going to get 4 or 5 people, maybe.
But it's about getting the right people. That's the thing. Exactly. You can go out there and get all the talent in the world that you want, but you've got to get the right people for the right system that Trent Barrett is going to go there. If they end up, you know, hiring Trent Barrett as a coach, for the system that he wants to run.
Yeah.
And as we talked about earlier, he had a pretty good side there at Manly and didn't really do a whole lot with them and then had a bit of a boo-hoo about some of the facilities that's there at Manly, and he ended up taking off on them as well. So I think we just need to sort of, you know, hold the phone a little bit on Trent Barrett going there and being a saviour for the Bulldogs.
Or even for the fact of, if I was Trent, hold the phone for a little bit and see him, and actually coaching jobs are going to be around. There could be 5 or 6 at the end of the year.
There could be quite a few. I think there's going to be one north of the border about 1,600 kilometres.
1,600 kilometres from what? From where you are?
From the Queensland, New South Wales border. I think there's going to be a coaching position very close to where I am right now.
As I say, I think it's about 6 kilometers from where you are.
It's probably I think the new stadium might be about 6 or 7 kilometers away. So yeah, that's
there could be that. There could be the Sharks. I don't see the Broncos, but I wouldn't see the Broncos. So Sharks.
They're fine now. They've got their win. They're fine. Seabold is fine. Everything is cool at Brisbane.
Sharks, Bulldogs, Warriors, technically, because, I mean, I guess
they've already turfed theirs.
And possibly the Dragons, I'd throw
in. Yeah, maybe the Dragons.
I wouldn't throw Justin Holbrook. I still got time, I think.
Oh, no, he's got time.
So, yeah, and I think Mao likes him too. So, and he wants to start buying some players. So,
he's got time.
All in all, still, regardless, it was still an okay win by Broncos. I won't say good. I'll say okay, because it was against last place. So.
It was against the 16th place team in the competition.
Next game was, they tipped the game of the round, the Raiders and the Storm. The Storm getting the biggies, 20-14 over the Raiders. It wasn't game of the round.
Things went their way in that game as well, didn't it?
For who? For the Storm?
For Melbourne.
Yeah, it did. No,
like,
I agree.
Statistically, they realistically shouldn't have won that game.
No. They didn't have the run of the possession. Their completion rate was terrible, 29 out of 41.
That's right. That's very low for them. Look, they only had two line breaks. They had 40 missed tackles.
Yeah.
Like, just one of those games where they just the thing that's sort of killed Canberra was penalties. And not so much penalties, as the penalty count was 9-5 to Melbourne. Just penalties at the wrong time. Like pressure relieving penalties inside Melbourne's own half when they're trying to get off their own line. Just things like that that are just pressure relieving penalties. And you just can't give Melbourne those opportunities.
No, that's exactly right. And that's literally all they needed was just that capitalization, because they didn't have the run of a lot of stuff. So all they needed was that slight sniff from the penalties, and then they capitalized. That's all they need. That's just Melbourne to a T.
No, exactly.
It could have been completely different if Jared Croker had his footy boot on, or his kicking boot.
No, exactly. Well, it's like three tries each. If Croker could, and he is a sensational kicker.
Mm.
But he just had one of those games.
Yeah, no, he's I think his career average is over like 78-80%, which is pretty good for
fantastic.
For Korea. So.
He's not even 30, and he's going to be very close to being the Raiders' all-time try scorer, top of the all-time try scorers, and he's going to obliterate the all-time points leader there at Canberra. So Henderson, he's not even 30.
He's just
setting records there like you wouldn't believe.
He's one of those guys that. Like, obviously, when he leaves Canberra, I mean, retires, I don't think he's going to ever leave Canberra, is that he's not going to be like, when you think of Canberra, you're not going to think of Jared Croker, even though you completely should have, because I think he's done wonders for that side. But you're not going to think, he's one of those.
Nobody outside of Canberra. Like, people who follow the Raiders religiously will tell you that he's probably one of their best. Players that's played there in the club's history. But whether the rugby league tragics like we are, you would say that he was up there. But you wouldn't think of Jared Croker as being synonymous with greatness. And it's sad because if he was a Queenslander, he would have had 10, 12 Origins under his belt.
Yeah, no, I agree. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's actually, I completely agree with that. He would definitely have.
He just totally would. Yeah. Like he's just unlucky that New South Wales have got a plethora of talent to pick from, especially in that back line. He's just simply not making it, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, if you guys even asked if we had his kicking alone, if he got there on his kicking of merits, like a Hazem El Masri kind of. The way he got into New South Wales, not a lot of times where he got in there, but he's never had, except for this kicking game, he's never had like a terrible game. He's always been a consistent guy too, I always thought.
Oh yeah, for sure.
But look, Storm grinded out. It was a grindy game. It wasn't a flashy game by any stretch.
No, not really.
Pappenhausen, I guess. It's not every week he has his greatest weeks, but that week, this week, he chimed in, got 246 run meters.
He was super.
Yeah.
The Bailey Simonson sin bin, yes or no? Take your Storm hat off and definitely take that Storm shirt off of yours.
Oh, you did see that. I specifically wore it too, just because. No, definitely not. He should have known.
Absolutely not.
No, He shouldn't have got Sidbin, but they shouldn't have got that. Was it a penalty
try? It's not even a penalty.
They're just
shouldering each other, and Adokar flopped.
And he literally, he couldn't see Adokar.
He only had eyes for the ball. Like, that's just such a bad call. Mm. And then straight away after that, Melbourne attacks that side where Simonson would have been, and they score.
Yeah, Adokar scores.
Yeah, it's just in typical Melbourne fashion. Like,
It was possible. Don't get me wrong. It was possible that he could have scored. It's possible. But it definitely didn't warrant a sin bin. I definitely didn't warrant a sin bin.
You're allowed to shoulder when you're going for the ball. You're allowed to go shoulder to shoulder. That's all that happened. Adokar flopped, made it look worse than what it did. And even if it's going to go to the bunker, like, even they got it wrong. And you're like, for God's sake.
The thing is, he was in front of Adokar. He couldn't see Adokar. He was in front of Adokar. So how the hell could he see him?
It's insane.
Definitely not. But yes, it probably was the turning point as early as it was.
For sure.
Like, really, they didn't score till the last minute, Canberra. So
yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Nickel Klokstad scored with 40 seconds to go.
So maybe that was the turning point, really, technically, like that send-off. Yeah. I mean, if you ask Ricky, he said it was, so...
He was a little bit upset at the post-game press conference as well. But, look, a couple of big injuries that come out of that game too. Yeah. Jesse Bromwich hurt a medial ligament in that game. Looks like he could be done for 2 to 3 weeks, which is not... Yeah, which is not terrible, but the big, big injury that come out of that, and that was one of my big injuries that come out of the Saturday night game, was Josh Hodgson. ACL, season over.
Mm-hmm.
That's extremely disappointing for him and Canberra.
For him, definitely, but for Canberra, huge.
That's it. And they're sort of asking... Yeah, they've been asking Michael Ennis, because he's been a part of that training squad and that squad down there at Canberra. And he seems to think that they can still win the competition without him, and I think he is extremely delusional.
Of course they got to say that, but I – no.
What's wrong with him? I know, because he's there and he's part of the training squad and everything like that. They just can't look at listen to the injuries that they've got at the moment. So Hodgson's done for the season. Mm-hmm. John Bateman is done with a shoulder injury. Who knows when he's coming back? Corey Horsburgh is done for another 10 weeks. Sia Soliola is done for the season. It looks with that fractured face. Gula's gone for another 8 weeks. So they've just got so many big – they're all big parts of their forward pack.
I was about to say, you've just named three or four people all in the middle. So
Where's their go-for going to
come from? Bailey Simonson.
Yeah, but Simonson's done now with a shoulder injury for the season.
Yep.
They're just dealing with a huge injury toll.
Yeah.
Almost as much as what the Roosters are. Like, the Roosters have got a massive injury toll as well.
I just think that Hodgson's the key in that. I agree. There's no way.
That's right.
Of course, and even like I think Broca could come out and said no, like we'll be all right without him. I don't think so. It's like any
Havili is their backup dummy half there at the moment, and he should do an admirable job, and he's a solid dummy half, but he doesn't have the creativity of what Josh Hodgson does.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I think it's just the way he's on the field too. It's not even the creativity. It's his defense as well.
Oh yeah, no, for sure.
So,
but you've just got to be wary of what he does in the middle of the field. You know, he's always got good service at a dummy half. You got to watch him with his one-on-one steals. He just powers, he just controls the game well. And now that they don't have him there, George Williams and Jack White now have got a really, they got a job on their hands now. to try and power that offense.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I don't know. I mean, this coupled with the obvious thing we said a few podcasts ago was they're hardly playing any game, hardly, not all, but they're hardly playing any games at home too. So
they've just had two games on the trot now in Canberra. Yeah, so if they're going to stay in Canberra now and they can have their home games there, then that will help them a lot, that they don't have to get on the bus every week to go to Sydney.
I don't think any Sydney – it's not going to be one or the other. I don't think any Sydney team is going to be playing in Sydney's for much longer. But anyway, that's a whole different thing.
Yeah, that's definitely – I have definitely heard that there could be an influx of teams heading to Queensland in the very near future.
They will all be staying at Twin Waters up where they're
staying. Man, I have stayed at that Twin Waters before many, many years ago when it was a Novotel. That place is amazing. It's got a fake lake in the middle of the resort. It is amazing.
Well, they got their units right on that lake too.
It's unreal.
It looks unreal.
It is insane.
Yeah, no, really, it really is. Of what I've heard, I've never stayed there, but one of the pictures.
Shout out to Scotty B. Like, yeah, we'll just stay there with him and his family. Holy moly, like that just place is like, what is this place? It's another planet.
Yeah. Yeah, it literally is.
It's beautiful.
The next game was the Eels. It was low scoring game, my God, over the Knights, 10-4.
Look, Newcastle looked good defensively.
Yes.
To frustrate Parramatta enough that they only scored 10 points. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been on fire lately, and okay, granted, last week it was against the hapless Cowboys, but they have looked impressive, and they frustrated them out a lot. Four all at half time. Newcastle's first game in Newcastle since round one. To me, Newcastle this season. This was another big test for them coming up against, you know, a premiership heavyweight. They failed the test a few weeks ago against Melbourne, failed miserably.
Yeah.
They didn't fail as miserably this week against Parramatta, but they've taken some steps backwards. There was no poise in attack, lack of polish. Looked disjointed at certain points. Like there was a scrum play that came off and Mitchell Pearce, as they sort of swept out to the left hand side, and just throws just a beautiful cutout pass to the touch judge. Like it was unbelievable. And it's just like, oh, okay. Like obviously he had something in mind, and the back line had sort of sat back a little bit deeper, and it just went. Just if you were I think it might have been Irani Tuala who was out that side. It just would have went zing right across his face. Yeah, you know, 5 meters in front of him. It would have been like, oh, was I meant to be there? Like, oh, I'm not sure what's happened there. They just looked totally disjointed in attack.
I agree with the first thing. Well, I got most of it, but I get the first thing was the main thing. Like, they just can't. They come up against heavyweight teams that they just don't seem to get over the line.
Yeah, they've failed miserably, and that's I guess a detriment to them that they're not getting that confidence. You know, they're not pushing those big teams. Yes, okay, this game is only 10-4, but they didn't look anywhere in this game at all, and they almost sort of plucked it at the end there, if it wasn't for Tex Hoy being offside, yeah, a little bit. Yeah, yeah. Kalen Ponga put in a little stab kick, and you know, the king of the sauce sort of slipped through, but he was in front of him by about half a meter. So
that was
disappointing to see that, because they could have sent that game into Golden Point.
Oh, you love saying his name so much.
It is. It's awesome. I love it.
King of the sauce. Andrew McCullough had a really good game in that game.
Oh, man, he was there. He has been try. Such a great guy for them.
Oh, it's ridiculous. It's like if anybody that Brisbane could take right now, could have kept. Well, you know, they had that guy. They should. Yeah, like, it just,
exactly.
That one's perplexing. Like, I mean, they wouldn't have seen the injury that happened to Jake Turpin.
No, of course not, but that's a nice backup to have there, though, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he would have been, and just had that leadership. He would have, anyway, he's always a top tackler. In every game.
He was the only one that scored. Like for Newcastle, you know, he got over from dummy half, just showed a lot of grit and determination to get over the try line. He knew he scored when he got up. Like it didn't look good on a couple of replays, but you know he got the ball down, and that was essentially Newcastle's only sort of shining light in attack, really.
Yeah, I thought Kalyn Ponga, like, he chimed in when he could, but he's still, I don't know, he wasn't at his Kalyn Ponga best.
He hasn't really been at his Kalyn Ponga best this whole season. Like,
there's flashes. Yeah,
there's been flashes, but he hasn't been as consistent. Like, you know, whether or not he's not getting his hands on the ball enough, Adam O'Brien sort of come out and said, I think he might be a bit of a side effect on a lot of the defensive structures that he's put in throughout training and things like that. So he's not quite getting the fluency that he can out of him, but he's hoping that it will come and get better as the season goes on, that he doesn't have to keep reiterating those defensive structures that he's putting in to make them, a pretty solid defensive side.
Yeah.
But he thinks that could be a bit of a byproduct in the way that Kalyn's playing at the moment. He's just not quite as crisp as what, you know, we've all seen him be.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, there's been flashes there, but no, I agree with that. Like, it's not like what the Kalyn Ponga...
his first year in Newcastle, he just lit the place on fire.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and he sort of, in and out, even last year, like, he was still good, but this year, I think we've yet to see the best of Kalyn Ponga, and you can only hope that, for Newcastle supporters, you can only hope that he gets better as the season goes on, and as they chug along throughout the season, you want to peak near the end of the season. You don't want to peak now.
No.
And that could be to the detriment of Parramatta and teams like that. Could they have peaked too early?
Well, it's possible because the last game, look at teams that might have peaked too early, but they've got some key injuries. The Dragons just literally just put the sword to Manly, 34-4.
They railroaded them.
It was all the stuff that happened to Dragons at the start of the year. I think whoever decided it was a masterstroke by the board to have four selectors, because I've never ever seen. I mean, he played Origin at this position. I've never seen Ben Hunt play so good up until this. Well, this game especially, he played so good at hooker. He was phenomenal.
That's right. And that's, I'd pose the question to you. Now, have they got their spine settled at the moment now? Are they going to stick with Ben Hunt there at the 9? Are they going to stick with Cameron McGuinness at 13? And I said it even a month ago, maybe longer, that Cameron McGuinness looked lost when he wasn't in a dummy half. And he's starting to find his feet now playing at lock, which sort of sucks here because Trent Merrin's sort of come back there and now he's being dumped back to the bench. He's just looking a little bit more comfortable there playing at lock and not getting his hands on the ball as much, and sort of being that influential in the play, but still being influential in the play, if you know what I mean, like being that ball playing lock forward, even though he's not the biggest guy that's out there, but you still have to pay attention to him in attack because he's a ball player.
I just think it was a masterstroke that they've, like, obviously Mary just couldn't pick the side that was winning games. They had four selectors, and the four selectors have picked, putting Ben Hunt at hooker, putting Dufty and Lomax in there. Dufty seems comfortable. Lomax is excelling at centre. I don't think he was a good centre.
Yeah, that's right.
So he's...
Yeah, exactly.
So, you're right. It's to the detriment of Trent Merrin, but I think it's working.
He's not a spring chicken anymore. Like, he can still come off the bench and contribute, for sure.
Trent Merrin. Yeah, definitely. Trent Merrin, he's 30 years old, so he's nothing... Yeah, I'm not saying that's a...
No, of course not. But he can still be a contributor for them off the bench. Absolutely, he can.
Yeah. They just Manly just looked. I don't know. Like they were okay there the first half, but they just looked shell shocked in the second half. They ran over by possession. They were just
sloppy.
They had 71% completion rate. Dragons just looked good.
Dragons are 40 or 43.
Yeah.
High completion rate. Look, and honestly, it's nothing against the Dragons defensively of anything, but if you can't put any points past them, then you're not having a very good go at it at in the offensive side of it. They dropped Lachlan Croker to the bench. They put in the young kid Cade Cust, 5'8".
Yeah.
Didn't really look like that was going to work.
No, that's right.
And hindsight is fantastic, and maybe they stick with this experiment for a little while longer. But Cherry Evans just looks like he's going to have to do too much for that side. You know, Aiden Fanua Blake out suspended. Trbojevic is still 6-7 weeks away. Dylan Walker's still another month away. So they look like they're going to have a few struggles offensively with those sort of key players out.
And I think that's their biggest. It's a Tommy Trbojevic. I think that's bigger than I think they thought it was going to be. Possibly, I don't know. They don't seem right. I don't think Cherry
it's
Evans.
It's just too much. Too much on DCE's shoulders.
Yeah, I think so.
Try and be the creator for everything.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally agree. The Dragons just did everything right. I was just completely shocked. Honestly, I just didn't. It's only because of how they were at the start of the season, but you know, the positioning of where people are playing seems to be working now.
Yeah,
having McGuinness at lock.
Yeah, you definitely didn't see a 30-point victory to St. George in this game as well.
No, definitely not. But not against Manly. But maybe people are giving more credit to Manly than we should be because they're not going particularly well at all. They're sitting outside the eighth.
Yeah, that game against Newcastle last week was pretty unfortunate how they lost that game. But they haven't looked very convincing over the last couple of weeks, especially with just key injuries. It's not a large injury toll. It's just key injuries that spark that team on.
Yeah, I agree. That is the end of round 9. As always, we have our studs and duds of the week. So your stud of the week?
Look, two studs of the week. Yeah, Ikavalu come in for the injury for the groin injury to Brett Morris and puts 5 tries on North Queensland. Late call up. So yeah, he's one, and the young kid Charlie Staines, for Penrith, 4 tries, 5 line breaks on debut. Like you just can't. That is as dream debut as you can get. Really.
Well, wasn't Ikavalu? Isn't that his debut as well?
No. He's played before. I think he's played before. 10 or 11 first grade games. Might have played more. As I said earlier, he scored 4 first grade tries in his career. Now he's got 9, so he doubled it plus 1.
Yeah, that's right. And that's right because Ryan Hall's still hasn't got 1.
Still on a donut. The last debutant to score 4 tries on debut. If you think back to 2008, and I think it might have even been in round 1. For the Gold Coast, and it's Jordan Atkins.
Oh, wow.
Of course, he scored 4 times, and they might have to even correct me if I'm wrong there. I think it was against St. George in the game. Obviously being a little bit of a Gold Coast fan, I just remember that. It might have been a couple of rounds in, but he scored 4 tries on debut for the Gold Coast. So that was the last time that somebody had scored or that scored 4 tries on debut.
Wow. Mine was echoing on a Charlie Staines, but I think it was just a Penrith Panthers in general. As great as a win as it was, I think they're starting to really firm as premiership heavyweights this year. Real, like, a lot more than I thought they were going to, at least anyway. I think they have the goods. I was skeptical on their, except for Nathan Cleary, of course. I was skeptical on their 5'8", but they seem to be clicking very good cylinders.
Yeah, no, that's probably right. Like it's more so about chemistry there than about star power. So yeah, they don't have the stars all the way around there, like you said, you know, obviously, except for guys like Cleary and that. But you know, they've just got the solid players that they need there. You know, Abbey Coruscant running the ship.
Yeah.
Dylan Edwards always plays super solid at the back. Yeah, Mansour was having a season.
Wow, the season.
Brian To'o, who was hurt, and that's who Charlie Staines had come in for, was having a pretty good season as well.
James Tarmow's playing a lot better than he has before.
Jimmy Tarmow up front is always plays well. I was very disappointed when he left up here. He's always been just a large human being, like a.
He can have stretches.
I've seen him out before. He is a very big human.
In the Cowboys sense, he did have stretches of where he got lost, like he just wasn't in the game. I thought that when he was at Cowboys, but and even sort of at the start of Panthers. But he's that whole side is just becoming. Like, I think that's the top four anyway. The Eels, Panthers, Storm, Roosters. I don't think anybody else is getting in that four at all. But
I wouldn't think so. Like, you'd think out of any of those teams that the team that could possibly maybe drop out would be Penrith. But the way they're playing at the moment, they don't look, they're not missing a beat at all.
Which is interesting. And everyone probably wouldn't say the Roosters, but the Roosters are fourth at the moment, outright fourth. So there's probably just injuries. But anyway, your dud of the week.
It's not the jerseys, and I'm talking about the Warriors jerseys that they wore against the Gold Coast on Friday night, which looked like grandma's tea towels that you used to see hanging up in the kitchen. But it's the person who approved of those jerseys looking like that. Who in the hell that's come across a boardroom somewhere? And they've just gone, oh, yeah, here's the design for it. And somebody's gone, yeah, that looks awesome. Let's mass produce these. They look horrible.
Yeah. They, I only just seen them, I guess, when you brought it up. Yeah, they're not, because I only listened to it on the radio. They don't look great at all.
I don't know what they were supposed to be.
A Warriors
Bush jersey. So I don't even know what that means. Like all the things that I tried to look up over the last couple of days to try and find out what that means, I don't know what it means. It just looks like somebody's tablecloth.
I mean, it's pretty evident. It looks like someone's tablecloth. Yeah. I don't even get any lineage behind it that's got to do with Warriors and Bush personally. How a tea towel's got to do with strange. Warriors Bush, but. It's probably not the Warriors.
The person who approved that of a style kind of jersey. Like, who does that?
My dad, it's probably echoing from what I said during when we talked about the game, but it's the Bulldogs board. It's how they've treated Dean Payne. We've said he has confirmed that he has quit. They're in complete disarray. I probably said it before, the money man and the CEO are at loggerheads because they want one person, one wants the other. They're finally cleaning up the cap mess, so they're going to have a bit of money to play with this year after the Des Hasler debacle. But you just can't have – unfortunately, Dean Pay's been a victim, but you just can't have a board that's at loggerheads. It's not going to be good.
But they were left in turmoil when that Muppet Raylene Castle left there.
Well, I would throw. Yeah,
they were absolutely left in turmoil after she left. You know, she just created an absolute, shitstorm there, and then just proceeds to leave, and then has done the same thing to Australian Rugby Union. And then these other people who have come in and left to clean up with the mess, and it's got casualties now.
It does. They're going to have to pay overs to get players. It's just I mean, even the Dez Hasler thing, like he had too much control in there, and that's probably what, and that's probably Raylene Castle's fault. Too much of like, I want to do this, this. No, he was
too much influence. Probably too much influence.
Yeah. So it's
maybe he's a hard man to say no to.
Well, look, he went back to Manly. I mean, I'm sure they would have, and he got to. No one expected with them to get where they were last year. So I don't know what influence he has there. I mean, fortunately, he's come into a side that has great players already. So except getting rid of Coruscant, I mean, you probably didn't have the money, but he hasn't really had to buy anybody, which is good.
No, that's right. Yeah, salary cap driven sport. So you just have to eat those losses of people, whether or not they want to chase the little bit extra coin, and that's what Appy Coruscant has done, and have a look at the way he's playing at the moment. He's playing fantastic.
Yeah, definitely. Well, that'll do it this week for Final Play Podcast. Or as always, we're on Twitter at Final Play Pod, and on Facebook is Final Play Podcast. Except for Apple, everywhere you can find a podcast, you'll be able to find us just by searching Final Play. It's literally that easy.
A little bit disappointed we didn't get our David Fifita contract scoop whilst we're recording this, which is a little bit disappointing. So we're sort of hoping that we might have got some news on what he is doing. Whether he's going to stay at the Broncos long term, stay at the Broncos short term, sign that massive deal that the Gold Coast have thrown out there of $1.25 million a year. The silence there at the moment with David Fifita is deafening.
Yeah, well, the last thing I read was that they haven't heard, and this is the Broncos, they haven't heard from David Fifita for a few days in general at all. So take that what you think, or take what from that what you think. But generally, if he hasn't heard from them, that could mean he's leaning towards the Titans.
That's what I think. I think that very much could be that he is seriously considering.
It's a big drop in money.
That gigantic contract.
He should have never said the in saying that, he should have never come out, and that's just when the lack of not having a manager. He should have never come out and said, oh. I mean, this is all rumors, but where it came out and said, oh, I'll do a 1 year deal with Titans and get $1.1 million and then come back to the Broncos when they clean up the mess.
Who's to say they could clean? Yeah, who's to say they could clean that up in a year?
That's true. That's exactly right. And you kind of if it was true and he said it, like it's I don't know, like it's not a great look for him. But that's because he doesn't have a manager. His management team at the moment, ever since that Bali incident, he's trying to change management. So
and that's the thing. He's and for such a young kid like that too, he's like 20. Even Tamalolo didn't get that large pay pack until he was 22. So, that's a lot of money to be throwing at him. We can debate until the cows come home whether or not he's worth it, whether he's not worth it. Do you pay that for that sort of player? Is he a generational type player? Those sorts of things. I really think he could kickstart that Titans forward pack if he goes there, because obviously they're losing Jai Arrow. So that will free up a little bit of salary cap for the Gold Coast as well to be able to fit into for him to fit there. I really think that would be just such a huge buy for the Gold Coast, for that club, for them to sort of get on a trail that will lead them to the final, to lead them to making the eight. Nobody's expecting them to win a premiership or anything like that, but I want the Gold Coast to be competitive down there. And I think a lot of people for rugby league, you can't just have your same serial whipping boys every single year, and that's what the Gold Coast have been for a while now.
I think we've said it before. They probably he's probably not worth 1.25. They probably have to pay 1.25 to get him, But if he can change that forward pack around, you know, when the money that comes free from Ash Taylor and play and people like that, other players may want to go to Gold Coast because that's always been their biggest. Like, we'll go all the way back to DCE. They'd sign a contract there and then backflipped and went to Manly.
Oh, that's right.
They always, well, the biggest problem has always been people wanting to go there.
A place like the Gold Coast, you know, you would think that there would be a little too many, you know, outside of football distractions. And that's probably why they've never had.
No, there is another Gold Coast.
Yeah, no, of course not. that's like taking professional sports to Las Vegas. Like, please.
Oh, that! I can't wait for the NFL to see that is
just fraught with danger.
See the stories that's going to come out of probably not the team, the Las Vegas Raiders, but just the people that are going to go there. Someone's going to get
everything
in trouble.
That goes along with it with Vegas. Like, just
someone's getting in trouble. That's,
well, yeah, the saying for the longest times, what's that? What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
No, 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 now. Not we got an NFL team there, but
no, that's right. Well, yeah, there's going to be. Yeah, that's right. That's the biggest sport over there. So there's going to be a lot of eyeballs and media coverage on that.
Well, that'll do it. Have a good week, everyone. My name's Jason. Can't wait to go to Las Vegas one day, Smith.
Yeah, well, I'm Miles. I've been to Las Vegas and it is awesome, Plum. So yeah, there's definitely some trouble that you can get into there. Have a good week, everybody. Hopefully we'll have some news about David Fifita soon, and as soon as we get that, we'll post it up there on the Facebook page. Definitely. So everyone can get a geez at it.
Definitely. See ya.
See ya.